chapter 2. Get your place there, and then if you would, turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 8. We'll begin reading verse 31 of Romans, chapter 8. And then when we get down to verse 37, that's the verse I'm going to be using to look at in the book of Ephesians. And we'll see some things there in Ephesians. I hope that this will be an encouragement to our hearts. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Boy, I tell you, when you're out there knocking them doors and they shut them doors on your face or whatever, hey, just remember who sent you out there. Amen. It'll be all right. If God be for you, who can be against you? And he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What a wonderful verse. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? That would do us some good, too, if we would look at this and remember that we're all, we're been made part of God's elect. He brought us in. He made us part of the commonwealth of Israel. And when we see one another and we're not always acting right and doing right, that we would learn to be wise and remember that it's not up to us to judge one another. It's up to us to edify and encourage and build up one another. And you was talking about President Trump, you know, about, you know, shooting himself in the foot, you know, that old saying, it's better to be keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than open up your mouth and remove all doubt, you know. So it's sometimes it's, he give you two ears to hear and one tongue, it doeth well to learn to study, to be quiet sometimes. And don't be talking about one another. If somebody's having a problem, pray for them. You want to talk to somebody, talk to God about it. If you want to talk to somebody, go talk with them about it. But don't be sitting there talking with others. And the Bible says God hates those that sow discord among the brethren. Now, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Ain't you glad he does? Huh? Ain't you glad he does? Hey, you don't. We don't know how to pray as we ought to. We don't even know what we really need. And we don't even know what we really are sometimes. And I know we've all said this before to ourselves. I can't believe I said that, or I can't believe I done that. But I tell you what, we don't know us, but God does. And he ever lives to make intercession for us. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as is written, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Concentrate on that verse. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It doesn't matter what comes our way. The Bible says you ain't no little run-of-the-mill conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. we don't have to worry about how things are going to go in the long run. Because it's already it's in God's hands. He works all things for our good that love Him. And all we got to do is trust in Him and let Him have His way in our life. Everything's going to work out just fine. In the book of Ephesians, verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast." Why? "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I got several things in these next verses I want us to get a hold of. As I was studying it, I saw some things, that statements that were made that Christ have done, and to show Him as a conqueror. One who came and conquered certain things that now He's conquered them for us. He's delivered us. He's done a great work. Now look at it. It says that at verse 11, "Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. And this was our condition, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." That was our condition. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye sometimes were far off, or made nigh by the blood of Christ." Now, He came to us. Amen? We were enemies. I want you to look at it like this. We were a walled city. And we were enemies with God. We were against God. We were a principality, a power that was opposed to God. Without hope, without God in this world. We were apart from God. We were this walled city. And buddy, we had built that thing up. Hey, by good works, we had built that thing up. By pride, we had built that wall up. By our selfishness, we had built that wall up. By so many things that was between us and God. Things that kept us from God. Things, we built that wall strong in life. And so many of them are doing the same thing that we'll run into out there knocking on his door. But I want you to see that picture, okay? You, at one time, were a city, a walled city. And you had built that thing up through pride and different things. Notice this. That time you without Christ, without hope. But Christ, Jesus, He came to us. Boy, He pitched His tent out there in front of that wall. Huh? Buddy, he come out with everything that he had, and he made peace. "But now in Christ Jesus we're far off, for He is our peace, who hath made both one," and notice this, "hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." We were this walled city. But buddy, he come up there, man, he got them big old, man, that battering ram, and just, man, went to work on that wall. The gospel. The Word of God. The power of the Word of God. Come started breaking that wall down. I mean, maybe it was some preaching you. Maybe you sat and hearing preaching. Maybe it didn't take but one sermon. I don't know. But I guarantee you, Christ has been working in you, worked in your life for a while. Boy, and He came to us. We couldn't come to Him, but He came to us. We had a wall put up there, every wall between us and God, of our sin and of our pride and all the things that was between us and God that made us enemies with God. And notice it, and said, "He hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us,
And notice this. And having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. See, that's why we were enemies. We wanted to do what we wanted to do. We didn't want to do what God wanted us to do. We wanted to do what we wanted to do. And these laws that God had laid out, these Ten Commandments, they were against us because we failed in every last one of them. The Bible said, if you broke one of them, you broke them all. Brother Russell sings a song. He says, I wasn't a thief, but I lived in sin's presence. I got news for him. He was a thief too. He was a thief. He was a liar. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He's all these things. He said, if you're a liar, you stole the truth. If you ever been out on the job and you kind of sloughing off a little bit, you robbed that man you're working for. A lot of us save and still do some of that. You know? Huh? But look at it. Hey, he said, these laws he have abolished in his flesh. He took them out of the way. The enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance. And notice this. For to making himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Now we were enmities with God, but God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, invaded this world. He was an invader, you understand? When he came in this world, this world was made by him, but it had already been given over to the devil. He was the God of this world. Huh? This world was totally given over to Satan. We had given it over to him. Your life was totally given over to Satan till he come and broke down that wall and come into your life. Hey, he invaded, amen? He come and he set up an invasion. He came in, buddy. You know, we look back World War II, the Normandy invasion and different things, you know, how more they prepared. Well, Jesus Christ, he came and he invaded this world. He came down from heaven. When he got here, he had no friends. Amen. He came here, the only friend he had was his heavenly Father. Huh? Right off the bat, his stepdad didn't know what to do about him. You know? God came and spoke to him through an angel. He said, him being a just man, not willing to make it public. He left the God. But he come to this world, buddy. This world was his enemy. And he invaded this world. He came. And buddy, I remember when he came to me, he broke down that wall. And he abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. But notice this in verse 16. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. See, these are words of conquer. He come in, he destroyed the enemy. He come in and he killed the enemy, slain. Man, you think of Jesus Christ, he come in this world, and the Bible talks about how his mouth, it's a sword. He spoke words that, boy, it cut asunder. The religious crowd hated him. Why? Because those words, they cut. Buddy, I mean, he come into this world and he didn't come to make, the Bible said he didn't come to make peace with this world, but to bring a sword. To destroy the works of the devil. And he has slain this conqueror who came. And now because of this, we are now more than conquerors through him that loved us. What we could not do, he did for us. He invaded your life. You know, And you've heard preachers say this many a time. People talk about, well, when I found Christ, he said Christ wasn't lost. You were the one lost. Amen. He come and found you.
Amen.
He come and found me.
Amen.
He came unto us. When we couldn't come unto him, he came to us. He come down, and by the power of his word, he came in and he broke in on us. He broke in on us. I mean, he took and he all those things we put up, maybe our religion or whatever, that said, oh, we're okay. We're all right. I'm going to be okay. It's okay. I'm all right. I'm as good as anybody else. Yeah, you were. You're just as good as the next fella. I mean, and we were all just rottenness. Anybody ever been picking tomatoes and all of a sudden you reach for, you see an old knife from red, ripe tomato, and reach over and grab a hold of it, it's rotten on the backside. That's the way most of us was. We had one side that looked all right, but we were rotten through and through. Oh, man. Praise God. I mean, he came in, he broke in on us, he found us, and abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance. For to make in himself twain one new man, so making peace. Now, we couldn't make peace with God. We had nothing to offer. What are you going to offer God? Your righteousness? Your goodness. I know. I give him my heart. And God said, it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Why would he want that old nasty thing? What did we have to offer God? But he had to create that in us. Yeah, that's right, he did. There's only one thing that we could give him. That was our will. We had to surrender. There had to come a time in our lives that God, you're right. I'm wrong. I need you. And this is what's so crazy. And God says, and I need you. God, you need me? You need me? God said, yes, I need you. Head can't say to the foot, I don't have no need of thee. I know you from the foundation of the world. I need you. What do you need me for? I need you to be part of this one new man. I need you to be part of my body. I need you in this world right now. That's another thing I want to look at. Hey, we're more than a conqueror. But I want us to see this thing here. And not only are we more than a conqueror, but by the fact that he conquered sin and death in us, now we're one new man. That's what he came to do. That's what, when he conquered, and he talked about, for we are his workmanship, that's what he came to do. His work is to make of us one new man. He didn't come to make us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 new men. He said, one new man. So that means when this part of his body, Brother Melvin, goes out and he introduces himself to somebody, who is it that he's really introducing them to? One new man. That whoever we are, wherever we go, that is Christ. It's Christ. It's one new man. Yeah, different members, but one new man. That's really why Paul over and over said, we need to be all talking the same thing. We all need to be behaving the same way. Hey, we don't need one guy to be mean and sullen and another fellow to be rejoicing and happy. We don't need one person just going around everything and wickedness and stuff in this world, and another person going around loving everything. We need to be the same. One new man. And that's the reason we got to, in the next book over here in Philippians, that he says that we have the mind of Christ. And we're to let this mind be in you. This mind of Christ. And be one new man. He said let. It's not something you do. It's something you just allow. You just surrender. You run up the flag. Get up in the morning. Oh God, here I am. Run up the flag as I surrender. Here I am. Yep, you want me to get the word? Okay, so you get in there and you read the Bible. Lord, take my mind. Guide me this day. Let me be, you be Christ. You have your way in me today. Let me be that one new man. If we were all that one new man, I guarantee you, it wouldn't be. It will make an impact. I don't know if you realize it or not right now, but there is a movement against the church in this country. There is a movement against the church. There's a movement for the church as well, but there is a movement against the church. And I got one thing to say to you about that. Don't let it upset you, because all things work together for good to them that love Christ. So when they mock and persecute, which they did Jesus Christ, right? If we're being obedient to God, it's not going to hurt. It'll work together for our good. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Persecution is going to come. How are we going to deal with persecution? Are we going to? Hey, look at Jesus Christ. Notice this. He's on the cross. He's been beaten. He's whipped. He's been beaten so bad you can't even see that he looks like a man. And who's winning? Who's winning? Who's the conqueror?
We are.
Amen. Well, they thought they were winning. We're having our way. No, you're not. This is all according to God's foreknowledge. This is something that was decided in heaven. What have God chosen? Has He chosen the mighty things? Has He chosen the atomic missiles? Has He chosen the cannons and the rockets the might of the United States of America? Is that the things that He had chosen? No, He said He had chosen the weak thing. Here's Jesus Christ bleeding and suffering. And He's winning. Can you see that? He's winning. They're not winning. He is winning. On the cross, He slew the enemy. They said, if you be the Son of God, come down and roll. I am the Son of God, so I ain't coming down. I ain't no liar. I said I was going. I'm gone. I'm here. And I'm not losing. I'm winning. He made peace. That blood that was shed there on Calvary's cross, that was a weapon. Amen. To destroy the works of the devil. That blood that was shed is a weapon that destroyed the works of the devil. The devil says, well, they're sinners. They have to die. Jesus said, I'm not a sinner. I'll take their sins and I'll die. And God took that blood and destroyed the works of the devil and made peace with God. He broke down that wall through his promise, through the Word of God, the living Word of God, the incarnate Word of God. Jesus Christ made flesh, shed his blood here on Calvary's cross, and made peace, conquered, and made us one new man. Man, I tell you what, that ought to make a half-backslid Presbyterian just shout all over the place. That knowing that Christ had done this for us, and we just read over there in the book of Romans, if he gave us his son, will he not give us all things? What has God kept back from us? That's a lot of love, buddy, that he would give his only son. God loved us so much that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. And he's not losing, my friend. He's winning. He didn't just win when he rose from the dead. He destroyed the works of the devil on the cross. He rose from the dead to show himself a victor. He'd already won the war by his death on the cross. But he rose in victory, and he came and showed himself that he had conquered death, hell, and the grave, having abolished in his flesh the enmity of the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make of himself twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that are nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You know, I've often told people, I said, I know the message of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. You'll go to somebody and you tell them what Jesus did on his death on the cross, and they'll say, that's crazy. That don't make no sense. How does that show his power and his strength and his majesty? They got rid of him. They killed him. No, they didn't. They didn't kill him. The Bible said he gave up the ghost. He dismissed his spirit. Didn't nobody take his life. Right. He laid it down.
Amen. Amen. Right.
And death couldn't hold it. Death couldn't hold him. He said, this I have of my Father. Then I lay down my life and I take it up again. He laid down his life and we all died in Christ. And sin, the work of sin, was defeated. The devil can no longer else accuse you. The accuser of the brethren, he can appear in heaven. He said, they're a sinner. Because they're a sinner, they have to die. And God looks at the record. He said, well, they did. They did. They died in Christ. It's paid for. What do you mean? I can hear him screaming at the top of his lungs. What do you mean? I just saw him commit this sin. God looked at the record. No, there ain't no sin there. It's all been paid for.
Amen.
It's done.
Yeah.
Ain't no sin.
Amen. Amen.
I'm about to get beside myself thinking about this. It's taken care of. It's done. He ain't no little run-of-the-mill conqueror. He's more than a conqueror. He made it as though it never even ever existed. It's all removed out of the way. Man, you're sitting there and you're trying to live a life to God in your own strength. You give it up, folks. Give it up. Forget about it. Put up the flag. Oh God, I surrender. I couldn't do right. I can't do right. But I can do all things through you. Huh? So here I am. Take me. Do with me what you can. I'm willing to be used. Do it every day. Do it every morning. Do it every... Hey, do it right now. Amen. I mean, you got something going on in your mind to surrender it right now and say, oh God, here I am. Take me and use me. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off. But we've been made nigh by the blood of Christ. The wall was knocked down. He come in and boy, he put the battering rams to it. Knocked her down. Walked in. Applied the blood. Said, you're just as perfect as I am. We've been made perfect in Christ. But there's nothing. God has got nothing against us no more. He looks at us, he sees his son. We're one new man. That he might reconcile and came and preach peace to you which were far off. And I want to encourage you today to accept that peace. Don't sit there and wrestle with your old man. Accept the peace. Don't sit there and try. Don't get me wrong, it's a battle. I understand that. You got to say yes to God and no to the old man. I know that. But you can't overcome that old man. Accept the peace that God has given you and rest in that peace. Amen. Huh? You want to know how to defeat the old man? Rest in the peace that God has given us. Rest in that shed blood of Christ. Rest in the fact that he has slain that enmity that was between us and God. Rest in his victory over the cross. Or look to the cross and realize that, man, I can look to the cross and I know it's all been taken care of. I can't look to my life that I live now. Oh, I fail sometimes. I do. But I can look to the cross and I see somebody that never fails. Amen. Huh? I'm looking to you, Jesus, for work in my life. Praise God, I'm not everything I want to be, but I do thank God I'm not what I used to be. I was a sinner, condemned, unclean. God has taken care of that on the cross of Calvary through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And he started a work in me that he's going to finish. My soul and my spirit is part of that new man in Christ. And it's just as perfect as Jesus is. And I'm resting in that. Now that fella I see in the mirror, that flesh, it gets older and it's falling. That's the reason why it's falling apart, by the way. That's the reason why we're getting older, and that's the reason why we're decaying, because there's sin in these members. But praise God, that's not what I'm trusting. Huh? I'm anchored in heaven, in Christ Jesus. He's my head. You know, he made us to be one new man. And I want you to think about this as one new man. When you have a problem, for example, I hear a lady, I don't like how long this finger is. I keep wanting to trim it off. I've cut that thing off about 3 times in the last 6 months. I keep trimming it. Stuck in the jointer the other day. And you look at it, it's kind of crooked right here. And I took some off the front of it, too. It's a little bit shorter than it used to be. When I did that, and it hurt, I didn't enjoy it at all. You know who took care of that?
He did.
The head did. The head said, oh. And the head went in there and found some Band-Aids, found some ointment and rubbed in it. And, and the head said do this, and the head said do that, you know? Is that not the way it's supposed to be in the body of Christ? We get a pain, we get a hurt. Who's going to see to that pain and the hurt? Hey, is it going to be the hand? Now, God will use the hand to help the foot. You know what I'm saying? Every now and then. Huh? If you hurt the hand, God will tell the feet. Go get something to help the hand, you know? Is that not the way we ought to be? Huh? That's the way we ought to be as one new man. With the head controlling everything that the body does for one purpose. For the edification of the body. Huh? And we want to build it up, right? We want to build this body up. As one new man. Now, I want you to look, keep on reading. We're one new man. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners and fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. We are His workmanship. Verses 10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. He's also the wise master builder, too. He's not only the cornerstone, but He's also that builder. Wise master builder. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Jesus, when He was on this earth, He said this, of myself I can do nothing. Only what God tells me to do. And He, in Him, dwelt all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All of the Father was there. That's the reason why Jesus could, tell Him disciples over there, show us the Father and it suffices us. He said, have I been so long with you and you don't know me? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know that's the way it ought to be with us. If they've seen us, they've seen Christ. There's a world out there that wants to see Jesus. There's a world out there that wants to see Jesus. They need something. They know they need something. They're not very fond of religion. And they're not, whether it be the Christian religion or any other religion. That's pretty well. We don't need to be religious. We need to let Christ have His way in our life that men might see Christ in us. That's what's needed today. Me and my wife was talking last night about it's kind of sad that when Jesus Christ walked upon this earth, He was friends of publicans and sinners, they kept saying. And they might not have been His friends. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have to be a friend, not really. But they wanted Him to be with them, you know what I'm saying? So He invited them to come eat with Him. But He was a friend of publicans and sinners. I mean, He was there for them. He was trying to meet their needs. Now, if Jesus is in us, what are we doing? How are we? Are we reaching out to people? Are we willing? Oh, I've heard all the sayings before. Yeah, you get to hang around with Him, you'll be just like Him. Well, if you are, get saved. Telling you, the only way you're going to reach people, you don't have to touch them. Amen. You ain't going to pull nobody out of the ditch, stand there looking back here and saying, come on out of the ditch. It's times you would have reached down there and literally pulled them out.
Told Brother John this morning, you know, and I said, you know, the Bible says that through our tradition we make void the Word of God. There's been a lot of traditions over the while that's kept us from being what God wants us to be, which is Christ in this world. A God that's reaching out. We're to be the hands. Feet of the Lord Jesus Christ doing His work in His world. And love will never fail. The love of God never fails. That's what this world needs more than anything else. Is to see Christ in you. And He just loves. I'm not trying to make it some kind of little mushy thing. And preacher's right, there's some things you ought to hate. You say, what about the homosexual? Yeah, I hate homosexuals. I love every individual. I'm going to reach out to them. I'm going to give them the gospel. And I'm not going to treat them like they're any different than I'm going to treat you. Because if we do, pack it up, go to the house. If you're going to go out there and knock the door, I don't care how wicked that man is. Don't reach out to him with the same kind of heart that you would your brothers here, and you're not showing them what Jesus Christ is. That old wicked woman who met there by the well, she was so bad that she wouldn't even come out when other people did. And he said, you had five husbands, and one you got now isn't your husband. Gave her all the attention he ever gave anybody else. She had his full attention. That's the way we gotta treat people. They gotta know that we're real, that we really have a genuine concern for them as a person. They're not a notch on a gun, they're not just a number. Creation of God that we're out to reach and make a difference in. If God can use us to do so. We have to build up this temple which God wants to live in. If all the fullness dwelt in Jesus Christ, and now Jesus Christ dwells in us, we need to let all that fullness be in us and get anything out of the way that hinders God from being God in our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.